The dry land shall be glad, the desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the majesty of our God. And that is the good news that Christmas brings us, is that we will indeed see the glory of God because he has come to dwell with his people. We're glad that you're here on this fourth Sunday of Advent so that we can prepare to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to say thank you to all the men of the church that helped cook numerous turkeys yesterday, and to the Davises for hosting us, for frying all those birds. For all of you that have donated and helped contribute, we appreciate it. Y'all may have already known this, but we're going to need all the help we can get. We're going to feed somewhere around 330 people tomorrow for Meals on Wheels. You can come early to help cook the food. I'm guessing 7:30, 8-ish is about when we would start getting meals ready. And then if you want to deliver any time between 8 and 8:30 on throughout the morning, you could come to deliver some meals. And like I said, we'll take any and everyone, all hands on deck. I hope you'll come back tomorrow night, too, for our Christmas Eve service at 6. We have candlelight, carols, and communion, and it'll be a beautiful service where we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's not going to be any sermon studies next week. We're going to play hooky, and we'll get back together in the new year. There's a lot of people on the prayer list. Do pray for Marguerite Brock. She's at home, but she needs prayers as she regains energy after having a mild fall the other day. Also, Melba Toigo, some of you may know her over at Pinecrest. She's in ICU. And then our music minister, Debbie Haas, her grandson, Seth Land, is in his 20s. But has such brittle bones that he fell and shattered his hip and got a new hip the other day. So he really, as a young man, could use a lot of prayers. But pray for them and pray for all the people that are on our prayer list. Thank you for being here. Let's rejoice in the salvation that is ours in Jesus Christ.
In our Advent reading, Titus looks back at the life of Jesus Christ and notes the incredible. God's grace has appeared. It has been revealed and made known. It has become visible in Jesus Christ and is the salvation of the world. What God has done in the past should then inform and influence how we live in the present. Let us hear God's good news and be those who respond to it with lives of faith. I will be reading from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. Let us pray. Teach us to love, O Lord. May we always remember to put you first as we follow Christ's footsteps, that we may know your love and show it in our lives. As we prepare for our celebration of Jesus' birth, also fill our hearts with love for the world, that all may know your love and the one whom you have sent, your Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Will you join me in the wreath lighting liturgy that's in your bulletin? Today we light our fourth Advent candle in expectation of Christ's return. Today we light the candle of love, knowing God so loved the world that God gave us his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have life everlasting. Love is patient, love is kind, and envies no one. Love is never boastful or conceited, rude or selfish. Love is not quick to take offense. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not gloat in other people's troubles. Love rejoices in the right, the good, and the true. There is nothing that love cannot face. There is no limit to its faith, to its hope, and to its endurance. God's love never ends. We light our love candle to remind us of how God's perfect love is found in Jesus.
To Bethlehem to ponder the promise of the prophet.
We are marching to Bethlehem to sing the carol of the angels.
We're marching to Bethlehem to greet the Savior of the world.
Behold, the star rests over the manger. We will find him there.
Come and worship Christ, the newborn King, and let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we do indeed await your coming. We wait filled with hope, knowing that your light will shine in the darkness. We wait anticipating your peace, believing that one day it will fill our world. We wait embracing your love, and we ask that it would inspire us to reach out and share it with our neighbors. We wait with joy, bubbling us in expectation of your great birth. Our prayer this morning is just as you visited your servants Elizabeth and Mary with news of the world's redemption and the coming of the Savior, is that you would make our hearts leap with joy and also fill our mouths with songs of praise. that we might announce glad tidings of peace and welcome in our midst the Christ that is with us. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Let us do just that. Let's sing our voices in praise. Let's lift them up to the Lord. Stand if you're able. Let's sing, O Come All Ye Faithful, hymn 41, O Come All Ye Faithful.
During this Advent season, it is good to remember that God knew we needed saving, whether we realized it or not. So it was motivated by love for all his people that God sent his Son. As we ready ourselves for his coming again, let us repent and enjoy by faith the free gift of God's salvation. Let us turn to the prayer of confession in the bulletin and together confess our sins. We confess, gracious God, that we have turned away from the light of your love. At times we have allowed the world's time to dominate your time. Forgive our sins of hurriedness and impatience. Forgive us when we have, instead of remaining alert, waiting and watching for you. Give us patience, slow us down, remind us of the ways in which you are present with us, not the wrapped packages, the abundance of food, but in the love and compassion that is brought to all. Shine upon us this Advent season so that we may be restored unto you. Amen.
children of God know that the good news declares that at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. He died not because we asked for forgiveness or because we deserved it. He went to that cross and died because he loved us and wanted to bring us into the love of God the Father. So know that thanks be to Jesus Christ, you are indeed forgiven. And be at peace. And let's celebrate this peace we have with God. Let us be a people who are able to share it with one another. Let's express our thanks and praise as we stand and sing together the Gloria Patri. Seated. You know, throughout the service, we stand and we sit and we stand and we sit. But what we're doing is, as God's word is going forth, we're hopefully responding in faith. And the offering is yet another way in which we do that. As we respond now, we should remember that in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus overturns the worldview that it's best to get. By letting us know it is better yet still to give. He said to the disciples, freely you have received, so freely give. Today, with those words, Jesus calls us to share God's blessing by becoming givers. Remember the words of Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. With that in mind, let us bring our tithes and our offerings.
Dear God, at this time of the year is the perfect time to reflect back on our relationship with you. Thank you for all you have given us this past year, spiritually, financially, and productive uses of our abilities. We look forward to the upcoming year to continue our spiritual growth and to be thankful for all the blessings you have given us and look forward to continued blessings as we follow in your path. Amen.
Amen. If you're one of our young ones, you can come forward. Everybody else can be seated if you want, but I'd love it if any young people that want to come up here and join me. Got a couple of y'all. Good. Yeah. What is it? The Price is Right? Come on down. Are y'all doing good? How many of y'all are ready for Christmas? Yeah, okay. Lexi knows she's ready. You guys ready for Christmas? Yeah, me too. Me too. I don't know about you guys, but Christmas is a time when a lot of people have certain traditions or things that they always do. Is there anything y'all always do at Christmas time? You go around and look at Christmas lights. Yeah, okay. Oh, cool. Y'all go by my house. They put candy canes, when they go looking at the lights, they rate them, and if they like them, they put candy canes in the mailbox. Is that right? That's pretty cool. All right. Or if you run out, you could use chocolate chip cookies, just so you know. What about you, Lexi? Yeah, that's something we always do at my house, too, is right after Thanksgiving, we get down the tree and we decorate the tree. Well, what do y'all do? You always watch Christmas movies with your family. Yeah, that's a fun thing to do too. You know, Christmas is a time of traditions, things that we often do, like driving around and seeing the lights or setting up the Christmas tree or watching Christmas specials and things like that. I remember growing up, for me, Christmas time was always family time. And my grandparents, I don't know if you know, they lived over in St. Augustine. And so we would often drive to St. Augustine and have Christmas with grandma and grandpa. And oftentimes my cousins would be there. And it was a time where I got to see a lot of the family that I normally didn't see and some I didn't know that well. But it was certainly a time of family. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. In Luke's gospel, when you read the story of Christmas, and I hope your parents read it to you or you read it yourself, I don't know if you ever noticed this, but when God was coming into the world, so much of the Christmas story begins with family. Angel comes to Mary. Y'all know that part of the story, don't you? He tells her, hey, I know you're going to get married, but you're going to give birth to a son, and you're to name him Jesus. And Mary was so surprised that she had been visited by the angel. And when she was done hearing this incredible news, it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 39, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and she greeted Elizabeth. And at the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Mary goes to her relative's house, one of her family members. Mary's pregnant because the angel told her, but you know what? Elizabeth is pregnant too. An angel had told her she would give birth to an incredible child who we know to be John the Baptist. Two women about to have babies, more family members, and when Mary shows up, they realize the Holy Spirit is with them. In Luke's gospel, it lets us know that when Elizabeth said, when it said she was filled with the Holy Spirit, she actually said this to Mary when Mary came to her house. She said, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Wow, it's amazing. Before Mary even said a word about having a baby, Elizabeth, her relative, knew that the child that Mary was going to have was going to be a very special child. Why am I so blessed that the mother of my Lord would visit me? Said Elizabeth. You are blessed, woman, because you believe that the Lord will do what he said. Wow. So Christmas began with families. You know what that tells us? Families are important to God. You know, I think God wanted families to be the first church. And then we would come from our homes to here and join our bigger family as represented at the communion table. Jesus entered the world by coming into a family. And that's because God wants your home to know his love. He wants to fill your house and the people that live in it with his Holy Spirit, just like God did with Elizabeth and Mary. So will y'all do me a favor on Christmas morning, and I know you're going to be all fired up because you're probably going to get some really cool things, but before you open any presents, will you turn around to your family and remind them all, God is with us. Because he wants to be the Lord of your family, and he wants to fill your home with his loving grace. Will you commit to telling your family members that before you start ripping into all your packages? You think you could do that? I know, it's hard when you're all that excited to remember, but try. But anyway, God wants to be in your home just like he's here with us in church. Let's pray. God, we're glad that you love to be with your people, and we do know that we need you to be with us. Not only be with us, your church family, but be with all the individual families that are represented here. I pray that on Christmas morning, they would all just be greeted by the presence of your Holy Spirit, and the gift they would find is the gift of joy that comes from knowing you're with us. Be with these children now and be with them always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, y'all give them a round of applause, and I hope to see you Christmas Eve when we celebrate at 6 o'clock. Try, don't forget. Okay. They said they'd be so excited about open gifts they may forget, but they're going to try. We're going to sing our next hymn, and it is O Little Town of Bethlehem, Hymn 44, let's stand, sing that together.
Oh,
John's gospel begins by announcing the incredible fact that God came down from heaven to be with us. By taking flesh, the eternal word of truth and life became temporal in order to show us the love of God. In this brief but profound passage, John describes Jesus as the light of the world who would come and dispel our darkness. Let us be ready to hear and receive the good news as I read from John 1, 1 through 5, which is found on page 91 of your pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. Okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
His power and glory.
Reagan, that was glorious. Thank you very much. I was told the preacher tried to be funny last week with a joke or two. So just not to be outdone, I thought for our teachers out there, we have several in our congregation. Do you know what you call Santa's helpers? Subordinate clauses. Moving right along. I'm going to read from Isaiah 9. And I'm going to read beginning in verse 2 through 7. A word of hope that came to a people that thought God had given up on them. Hear now God's word. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You've multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests on his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As Isaiah just said, the people who walked in darkness.